International Day of Tabletop, or International Tabletop Day, is this week, and we are here together to discuss what the heck is a tabletop game here on Two Geeks and a Microphone.
Welcome to the Two Geeks and a Microphone podcast, your one-stop shop for television, movie, video games, comic books, book reviews, and more. Now, without further ado, here's Steven and Mike.
I'll talk first, everybody. Welcome. Good morning to you, everybody, to Two Geeks and a Microphone. I am your co-host, Mr. Steven Boster, along with the one, the only, the one who's got a dog you may hear in the background, just saying, Mr. Michael Shanks. Mike, say hey to everybody.
Good morning to all you geeks out there in geekdom land. And I hope we don't hear her. We've got her occupied with a Kong stuff with frozen peanut butter, carrots, and treats. So,
right. Bribing the dog. Man, yeah, I wish I had that. I needed that idea.
The Kongs work really well. I would highly recommend them.
Nice. Nice.
That's been a good thing since we got her. Yeah.
Well, hey, everybody. We also have Megan with us this morning. Megan, say hey to everybody.
Hello.
Hello. I love how you do that, by the way. And then our own from our show, but actually here to help with her own show that her and Megan are doing, Miss Angie, Geek Girl Angie in the house.
What's up? How's it going, y'all?
Good. So glad you're here with us. We're very excited for Angie because Angie and Megan have gotten together to do their own show podcast stuff. And we're kind of doing a crossover today. But we're here today to talk about tabletop games. Now, I made a joke about what are tabletop games this morning. But for those that don't know, we're just talking about games you play on your tabletop. But there's different kinds. And so we're going to talk about a couple of them. That's kind of our favorites today. And so I'm excited because Angie is really big on some tabletop games. Megan is really big on some tabletop games. Yeah. And so Mike and I will share our experiences with some tabletop games that we enjoy, just all in celebration that April 29th is International Tabletop Game. So some of you may be hearing this on that day. Some of you may not. Some of you may be like, hey, it's live. And so we're excited about talking about, but we have some very important news and geekiness to talk about today. Mike, are we ready for the geeky news?
All right. With that segue, here we go.
You beat me to it. You're so funny. Oh gosh. Well, hey everybody, I want to share with you our Ko-fi page. If you haven't checked out our Ko-fi page, please do. It is www.ko-fi.com/twogeeks. And for our supporters, our monthly supporters, those who continue, we have a $1 tier a month, $2 or $3 a month. But for all of our supporters, we were able to release finally. Sorry, it took me a while to get it all figured out, but I got a rhythm now. We did our own What If Starkiller Was an Inquisitor story. And if you remember, we put that out, but we finally finished the audiobook. And so the audiobook is in there. So if you are a monthly subscriber, you get that as part of being a monthly subscriber. And what's fun with it is when you go into the post, it actually, I figured out to do two things. One is it is actually embedded. And you can sit here and play it. Oh, it won't do it because I didn't tell it to do the audio. You just as a, for those who are listening to the show, just as a fun little Easter egg, you're going to hear my voice at the beginning. But guess what? That is actually AI talking, doing that because I was testing out some new fun stuff. And then it goes into the
voice. Skynet's coming.
Skynet's coming.
I'm telling you, bro.
Yep. Or you can do it. I have it on a Google Drive. So if you want to click and listen to it on a Google Drive, you can do that. So we've already had several people who are listening to it. It's been a lot of fun. I use, just for those who are curious, I use 11 Labs, 11labs.io, and they have different voices that you can do. And in the library is Steven, is my voice in the library, which is kind of crazy. So
50-year-old American male narrating.
Yeah. Narrating stories funny. And news. I put in that one, but I just called it that. Even though
you're making yourself younger.
I know you like that.
Oh.
Right on. Shots fired.
Burn.
So now here's the thing, everybody. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to release the Mara Jade one. And so the Mara Jade story is going to get released. And then our big story that we did, here, I'll show it to you, everybody. So
help me remember now, Starkiller, was that our Star Wars podcast day one, or was Mara Jade our Star Wars podcast?
They were right next to each other, I think.
Okay.
And then our Qui-Gon Jinn story, Legacies Undone, I'm working on, because the voices don't recognize Qui and Qui-Gon.
Yeah, it says Qui.
It says Qui. So I've done a short version of it just to test things out, but I got to go back and fix Qui to say Qui. And that cost me some credits to figure that out. So I finally figured it out. So, but it's okay. It's all in good fun. So yeah, please check us out there. If you haven't supported us, please think about it. Just $1, $2, or $3 a month. And for all our monthly subscribers, we're doing all these audiobooks so that you can listen to them. It's been a lot of fun to figure out. It just took me a while. So now I've got it nailed down. And so we're going to start doing more. So if you have any requests of different stories you want to do, like what I'm working on right now is an OCD, a female OCD assassin, OCD female assassin. And it's a short story about how she can't stand bodily fluids.
Oh, that's hilarious.
But she has to go into this house she's a hitman. So she has a job she has to do. Oh, and she always tries to be super careful and clean and neat, but everything goes awry. So does that sound like a good story? I thought that sounded like a story.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds funny. Oh, I love it.
I was inspired by my wife on that story.
You know, the great thing is that she has to make sure and everything's cleaned up, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I guess she doesn't have to have a cleaner come in and do it, because she's going to do it while she's...
I didn't think about that. It's meant to be an action comedy story. And so the whole thing was, she tries to be really... The whole point was for her to try to be like a sniper. She's geared as a sniper rather than hand to hand, but she messes up and she has to go into this mansion of these bad guys in order to take care of what she has to.
Don't bleed too much.
Yeah.
Right.
So anyway, so we're going to have more stories and stuff like that. If you have any of the stories you'd like us to hear or like us to do, please let us know. We're just having a great time. I'm learning more about AI storytelling and using AI to help tell stories. Like, you may have ideas, you just may not know how to write a story. And so it helps you do that. And we can do a whole, I started an episode a long time ago. You guys can listen to that one. But I've learned so much more since then. And it's been a lot of fun.
That was on New Year's Eve. That was when Brendan and I went to Dallas to see the Dallas Cowboys play. And you did a solo episode.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So you guys can check that out too.
Mm-hmm. And we may do another one or something like that. So, all right. Well, I want to make sure we made that announcement. Mike, thank you for the reminder and thanks for saying, hey, we need to tell everybody. I said, oh yeah, we do, don't we?
Okay. All right.
Are we ready for Geekdar?
Yeah, let's move into Geekdar.
Let's go with the radar, sir. What's wrong with it? I've lost the bleeps, I've lost the sweeps, and I've lost the creeps.
The what?
The what?
And the what?
You know, the bleeps. The sweeps. And the creeps.
That's not all he's lost.
I love it.
Love me some Spaceballs.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, hey, everybody. We are... So just before the show, Angie and I were talking about the Amazon show Fallout and what we thought of it. Now, to be open, everybody. So just so that you guys know, I watched, there's 8 episodes. I watched 1, 2, 3, and 7 and 8.
So essentially you Steven skipped through a couple episodes.
Yeah, kind of, sort of. It wasn't quite intentional. I have family members who are watching it. And so I'd get into, if I'd go by the main living room and if they were watching it, then I'd sit down. And so once I got to 7, I really got engrossed in it. And 8, yeah. 8 was good. They wrapped up that season and set up for more. Kind of stuff, which was really good. What were your thoughts?
That's cool,
Angie. So far,
so much of you watching? Okay. So for those of you who are watching on our Twitch channel, I am going to be releasing 3 and 4, my review for that, in the coming week. But I'm up to episode 4, and I mean, honestly, like there's little things that I'm slightly annoyed with and whatever, but I'm also remembering that I've only played Fallout 4. I've never played any of the other games. And so my exposure to the show is very much like only from one aspect. But I absolutely love it. I have, I don't know if you guys saw on my like TikTok and all that kind of stuff where I have like a whole setup. Like I'm almost as big of a fan of Fallout as I am of D&D.
Wow.
I have an addiction to the point where 1 year when for Halloween, I dressed up as a vault dweller, and I actually have
your old Pip-Boy,
and it's made out of plastic, and it has this holographic thing where depending on how you look at it, it'll show your stats or it'll show the Pip-Boy and whatever. So like I have an issue, guys. But
that's all right.
I have a question about the show. I have not watched the show, and I've never played the game, so I am completely ignorant of all things Fallout. So
right.
I'm just curious, do you really need to play the game to understand the show, or can you watch it without playing the game?
That's what I love about this show, because I was really curious how they were going to do it. I like, and I said this in my first review for 1 and 2, I like that regardless of you've played the game and you've been around for the whole 30 years that they've been in production, or you have literally never heard of it and you saw a preview and you've heard people saying like, oh, you should watch a show or something. And you go in with fresh eyes. They make it so presentable to new fans that, and it gives you enough of a context to be like, oh, okay. Because in the first episode, when they show Walter Groggins' character, he's doing like a birthday party. And so you see like somebody listening to the radio, you see somebody watching television, and it talks about the war between like China and some of these other countries that's from the Fallout world. And so it gives you a little bit of a context. And then through each episode, they do like a back
flashback.
Yep. Thank you. I was like, words. They do a flashback to kind of give you more of it. Like they fill in the little things where you're like, but what about this? And what about that? So as somebody who's never seen it, like, I think it's perfect because it gives you enough of a taste where you're like, okay, I got to watch more, 'cause I got to figure out what the heck's going on, you know? But then for those who have played it, even for me, who's only played 4, I was telling Steven this, there's so many Easter eggs in there that I've watched 1 and 2 twice. 3 times. And then I just watched 3 and 4, and then I'm going to rewatch it again so I can make my notes. But, like the third time around that I've seen one and two, like I was still catching stuff that I missed the first two times around. Like it, nice. So yeah, there's so many. And some of them I actually had to ask my roommate, because I was like, I don't understand this. What's this? What's that? And he was like, oh, that's from like New Vegas, or that's from Fallout 1 or something like that. Yeah. So there's a lot.
I just want to affirm for you, Mike, that you can go, because I just played a little bit of 4. Okay. And I was curious how it would be for those who have not played the game. You do not need to have played the game at all.
Okay, cool.
To watch it. They do a great job of setting it up.
Oh, yeah.
In the beginning. Through Walter Groggins' character. So he is a main character. through his character, you see the world through his eyes from when things began. Now, it may not make sense yet, but that's all part of the character of exploring the world and the world building.
Right.
Okay. His character. And he's such a good actor. I remember seeing him in the show Justified. So good. So good. And he does a great job. And,
well, maybe I'll check this show out.
And then. you could do what I did. Like, if you're struggling for time, everybody, you can watch the first and then watch the last two and you'll be fine. I'm just saying, because I'm just,
well, you know me, I'm more of a completist. If I'm going to watch it, I'm gonna watch the whole thing.
But I will say this, the ending is so satisfying, how it really, you get this story through the whole thing. It's a mystery of who's who, who's where, and what's happening, what's going on, and why. And then once you get to the eighth episode, all is revealed for that season. And I love that. I love that your mystery box is done at the end and totally 100% sets up for the next season.
That's good. Okay.
And you're like, the way they did the storytelling, my mind was blown. I was like, and it's straight out of the games, evidently, but I never played the games that in depth to know really what was going on or what was happening. And it's really good. It's really good. The main character in it, the girl in it, at the beginning, I was like, she's kind of annoying, kind of a thing.
I did not like her. I'm in episode 4 and I don't like her. I'm like, this chick is naive.
It is all part of the character arc. I'm just going to tell you that as you're going to see her progress from someone who's lived in their vault all their lives, now being in the outside world and what happens with her character by the end.
I get it.
Wait a minute. I got a question now. So since you said a character who's lived in the vault all their life, that immediately reminds me of a movie starring Brendan Fraser.
That is correct.
So is that similar? What was the name of the film? Yes. Christopher Walken was Blast from a Past. I love that movie too. That's great.
Yeah. It's the same. It's the same concept. Blast from the Past is kind of the same thing. It's nuclear war. We go into this fallout bunker, or we go into this bunker fallout shelter.
Except Blast from the Past, there wasn't.
They got locked in for like 30 years.
And that's honestly where their world diverges from us. So in the Cold War, when we teamed up with, like, I can't remember who it was. I was never good at history. But it was like Russia or something like that, wasn't it? Like,
I'm just saying.
Well, the Cold War involved Cuba. Yeah, there was many players in there.
So it split off after the Cold War.
Watch the show.
So their technology doesn't really advance to what we have today.
Just watch the show. Watch the show.
All right.
It for the podcast.
Right. The podcast. Exactly. Well, you know, I might be able to get us. Yeah, I got that. Sorry. I might be able to get us a fun guest for that one too. I'll have to talk to him and see if he's up for it, but I might be able to get us a fun guest.
But one last thing I will say is, because I'm very much like I love taking pictures and I love aesthetics and all this kind of stuff. I loved, other than the storyline and everything like that, they did so well with the aesthetics. They did so well with the cinematography and with the props and everything, to the point where like you look at it and you're like, wow, like this is insane. So I will say that.
Very cool. Well, I do have one thing for Geekdar. Since we are talking games, I thought I'd pull out a game that I got recently, and we actually took it to church last night because we had a game night at church, and it was a pretty big hit at our table. It is the Princess Bride game.
No,
prepare to die.
Hello, my name is Inigo
Montoya. You killed my father.
Prepare to die.
And that's exactly what the game is. It's all based on that one line from the movie. Nice. And I think it's so much fun. If you've ever played Apples to Apples, it's just like Apples to Apples.
Nice.
So each person gets a "Hello, my name is" card. And like for this one, yeah, I would pick out somebody I don't know. This one's Maya Angelou.
Maya Angelou.
Uh-huh. Who's that? I don't know who's
the poet.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So you know, each person will have a name card, and then each person will have six cards that have a saying like, "You sheared my alpaca, prepare to die."
Nice.
And then you know, the person who's choosing gets to choose which one he or she thinks goes best with the name. So it's very much like Apples to Apples or Cards Against Humanity in the realm of those games. You give me a funny look, Steven.
That's funny.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you didn't understand what I was talking about or.
That's funny. I have the game, but I've never played it. I actually have it.
It's a lot of fun. We enjoy it. It was a fairly big hit at our table that night.
That's cool.
Nice.
So I figured since it's game day.
That's right. Nice. Well done.
That's cool. Awesome.
All right, everybody.
I know it's a role-playing game.
Nice. Well, that's okay. We're talking tabletop games. It's all good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of which, it's time for... It's time for the main event.
Did I take your cue good enough?
Yeah, no, we're playing around. So, hey, everybody, just so you know, because I'm just kidding around about what is a tabletop game. I have a whole bunch of tabletop games right above me.
Nice.
Oh, no. Hold on.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
No. Oh, no.
This is why Angie's on the show, everybody.
There's look at that.
Whole thing full of games.
Hello, my name is Angela, and I have an addiction.
Nice.
So those audio listeners, we should tell you that there was a whole bookshelf full of all games.
Now, I have to say... One of my favorite games growing up is Monopoly. I love Monopoly. And I have all different kinds of Monopoly. I've got Star Wars Monopoly and I've got Kiss Monopoly or Kissopoly. Yeah, it's fun. It's
what
a
other
lot
Monopolies do you have?
Heck, I don't even remember now, but I've got several.
I've
different
got Star Wars Monopoly or I had Star Wars Monopoly.
Well, there are several different Star Wars Monopolies too,
right?
Yeah. I mean, you could go down a whole rabbit hole of Star Wars Monopoly. I had the first one
that came out because I was running, that's when I was managing KB Toys when that
gotcha
came out.
Yeah, mine's got like Darth Maul and I don't remember who all it's got, you know, for the pieces and stuff.
Yeah,
problem is nobody in the house wants to play me at Monopoly because they say I play for blood. So
Megan, is that true?
Yes. I hate Monopoly.
Monopoly is more than a game. Monopoly is a life
lesson.
You're right.
It's a family destroyer.
It's a life lesson.
I mean, sure, why not?
It is. It's a life. Not that new Monopoly crap. I won't touch that new Monopoly crap with credit cards and
we don't talk about that.
Yeah, I won't touch that.
That doesn't exist.
Yeah, we have quite a few different games in our house too, and I'm not about to open up my closet and show that mess.
Right. Hey, everybody, if you are listening While we're doing our live show, please comment down below, or even if not, if it's later on, just comment below, what is your favorite tabletop game? Because we may go back and look at those and discuss some of those games, because we're going to talk about some of our favorite games today, whether they be role-playing or just regular old tabletop kind of a thing. So now, for those of you who may not know what a role-playing game is, we're not saying R-O-L-L, playing game, like rolling dice, but you do roll dice.
Right, that's games, kind of...
but it's R-O-L-E... R-O-L-E, role, you're playing a role. And the biggest, I would say, Angie, I want to get your opinion on this. What do you think is the game that started it all for role-playing games?
Dungeons and Dragons. That was... interesting.
Oh, Wookie said Risk.
You know, I've always been afraid of Risk. I've always felt I'm not smart enough to play that game.
I hate that game too.
I don't like history. That's why I don't like playing it, because I'm like, it makes my eyes cross.
I don't mind learning about history. I have no problem learning about history. I just I don't know how to strategize enough, I guess.
I played Risk with a fellow friend, Mike, and I had back in high school, Lee Kemper.
And, I remember Lee. Yeah.
Yeah. And we like, oh, let's just play a game of Risk. We thought, oh, yeah, sure. Holy cow. I had to call my parents to see if I could sleep over, because we went six.
It's a lot. Hours.
Wow. And all. And, yeah. And the tides would turn. You think you're, oh, finally, we're going to get this game over with. And then all of a sudden the tides turn and you're like, you know, kind of a thing. So
let's put it this way. I'm not into Warhammer, and I would play Warhammer before I would play Risk.
Sacrilege.
Warhammer takes forever. Forever. I know people that play 6 to 8 hours. And I'm like, really? Yeah.
That's funny. Wookie, great entry in the realm of tabletop games. And Castle Risk was good too. Wookie, did you ever play Castle Risk? I love that one, because then it was Europe. It was kind of like, it was just Europe. Like medieval times.
That sounds kind of fun.
Now, I would probably play that. That sounds interesting.
The same. It's still Risk. You're just doing Europe. That's kind of a thing and stuff. Rules are a little different, and they a little faster, I guess. But anyway, all right. Sorry. I'm so sorry, Angie. So go ahead. Dungeons and Dragons started it all for role-playing.
So for those who did not watch our show on Geek Girls Podcast, it was our second episode, I believe. Megan, help me out here. Was it second one that we did D&D?
I think so.
Okay. So in our second episode for Geek Girls Podcast, we actually talked about Dungeons & Dragons, because I am a massive, massive Dungeons & Dragons fan. And I gave a little bit of statistics and whatever background history for D&D, and it actually was the very first that, you know, paved the way for any type of role-playing game. And they started out with doing stuff like Warhammer and whatever, but then they went from that to actually having a storyline. You could potentially like play these different types of characters and whatever, and it involved dice. So it wasn't just miniatures. So yeah, they're the ones that, and I mean, that was back in the 70s and stuff. And since then, like, you've seen everything from, Warhammer even came from Dungeons and Dragons, you know? So yeah, they were they were the first.
So at the time, that was TSR Gaming.
TSR.
It's now owned by Hasbro, which is so funny, because if I know the story correctly, and I probably don't, but Wizards of the Coast, Magic the Gathering, went to TSR to say, hey, we have this great idea. Would you like to be involved? Mm-hmm. TSR said, no, you're stupid. That's pretty much my own storytelling.
That's pretty much what they said.
And then Wizards of the Coast said, well, we'll just self-publish. And they did. Yeah. And then they got so big that they ended up buying TSR Games.
Yeah. No,
then
they did.
Hasbro came in and bought.
Which is a new, like a recent thing. Like that's within the last, like, I don't know, 10 years or something
10
like
years,
that?
Yeah. So then Hasbro bought Wizards of the Coast. And so then they own TSR. And now then there's been all this hoopla in the last 2 years.
Oh my gosh.
With rule books, which rule books can be done. And then, and all kinds of stuff.
A lot of stuff. And like, you know, there's some of us that are big fans that are like Gary Gygax. Like, we're like, this is so far from what he imagined for.
Right. So who's Gary Gygax? For those that may not know, who's Gary Gygax?
So.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
So Gary Gygax, hang on, because I got to pull up my notes because it's been a hot minute since I talked about this. Gary Gygax is one half of the creators of Dungeons & Dragons and who started working with TSR to make Dungeons & Dragons a thing. But him and I can't think of the other guy's name right now. They started finding out basically, and I don't know like the full story, but they started finding out basically that people were wanting to play some sort of dice game or something where they could like role play, where it wasn't just about miniatures on a board. And so they talked about it and they did a like mock-up of, oh, thank you. Yeah, that's my bot that's talking about my Kofi. So they did a mock-up game, which again, I can't think of it off the top of my head.
David Arneson.
Yeah, yep, that's it.
Ernest Gary Gygax and David Arneson in 1974. So go ahead.
Yep. And so what happened was they play tested basically this thing to do like a pre for D&D. It went over so well that they started doing D&D, and I'm probably like completely butchering it, but they started rolling out like this rule set and, you know, how to do like, you know, your strength and your modifiers and all these kind of things, you know. And it started taking off among the, in high school and stuff like that. Some of these groups started doing it. And it was like a way for, you know, these kids that most people would like pick on and be like, whatever. They formed their own little bond through doing like role playing and coming up with these stories. And there's been a lot of like people that even to this day, I'm like, oh, wow, like, I don't know why I'm surprised that they play Dungeons & Dragons, because it's such a popular thing that most people, it's starting to pick up. But again, like, it's still one of those things where you just don't think about it. Because, I mean, there's people like Mercer with Critical Role. You've got Joe Magnolio,
Magnolio, the guy who played, just so those that might not know, if you saw the end credits to Justice League, he played Deathstroke.
Yep.
In the post credit scene.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. That actor has a whole entire room devoted to playing Dungeons and Dragons.
It's his man cave.
Huge table. Other actors and actresses get together.
Ben Diesel is another one from Fast and the Furious. He's a massive D&D fan. Mm-hmm. So like it's really cool.
So look, I'm gonna step back here for just a minute, because I want to talk what we were referencing, everybody, why we brought up Gary Gygax. Is Gary Gygax is kind of also upset with what's been happening. He and David Arneson, right at the beginning, had set up this framework to where they gave permission for people to create their own campaigns. They could make their own stuff and they could publish it if they wanted to. And because they wanted to get the word out there. So they really decentralized their gaming system. And so they said, you have to use these rules, but if you want to create your own stories and stuff, they encouraged it. And what happened with Hasbro in the last couple of years, Hasbro tried to take away those rights. And then, and they were like, even the attorneys who were involved in it and the original people with TSR said, no, you can't do that. Those are perpetual. Those were already done at the beginning. And so it created a fiasco. And now you have the group behind Pathfinder, which is Paizo Games, have come in and said, hey, you have full reign. We have always been committed to this, and we are doubling down on now you have permission to create your own campaigns.
Oh, yeah.
And then they Hasbro has tried to push people to have to use the apps, the D&D apps and stuff. And people are just like, they're losing subscribers like by the tens of
thousands. They took a massive hit when they did that. And here's the thing, Gary Gygax he's like, we want to build a foundation because we know there's people out there that are great storytellers. We're just providing the platform for them to use as a leaping off pad to tell all kinds of stories, you know? And so they're actually, I think on Amazon, I don't know if it's still on there or not, but it was like Amazon or Netflix actually had a biopic or whatever on Gary Gygax and his partner that I always forget his name because most people talk about Gary Gygax. That's what he said. He goes, I want this to be available, you know, like I want it to be available to where anybody can play this game. And really what Hasbro, which I have my own thoughts on them, really what Hasbro did is they hurt people like, say, Critical Role and some of these other people that do stuff on YouTube to promote D&D, where now they have to pay a good chunk of money if they want to talk about D&D and run their own like homebrew thing. And I mean, it just like Gary's son, he was like, I'm not in favor of this. Like, I do not condone this. And like, he's like come out and said a bunch of stuff. And they have a convention every year in Indiana called GaryCon. And they were, it's really cool.
Heard about GaryCon. Yeah.
It's really cool. I actually want to go to one in the next couple of years, but on Twitch, they do like a live thing or whatever. And they were actually having a couple weeks ago, I think they were having a video where they were just talking about a bunch of different things and they were playing D&D and you can tell like, they're just like, we don't, you know, we're very upset with Hasbro, you know? So I have a feeling Hasbro does not realize how much, I mean, even to this day, this was 2 years ago and they're still receiving backlash from it. And I feel like they're going to be the death of themselves if they keep on, you know?
Look, we got a comment from Steven.
I thought that was funny.
I wanted to get that in there because I was following Wilkie's lead because Wilkie said Risk was his favorite. I thought, oh man, I need to get in there and,
Totally.
Well, we're going to talk about our favorites in a minute. Now, I did want to mention real quick, though, you were talking about Joe Maj, however you say his last name.
Yeah, Magnelio or whatever.
Magnelio. Also, another star from the Star Wars universe and from the DC universe.
I almost forgot about that.
Sam Witwer is a huge. Sam Witwer played
massive.
Yeah, he played the animated Darth Maul. He also played Doomsday in Smallville.
Yeah,
he's had lots of roles, and he was also in the Ahsoka series as Murak. Man, he's voiced Starkiller in the video games. Mm-hmm. Anyway, massive Star Wars actor and fan. He's a huge fan of D&D. In fact, he helped put the book. There was an art book that put together, I think, last year. And
it was like the beginning of last year, I think.
Yeah, I think so. He and Kyle Newman, who is the director of Fanboys and some other movies too. Fanboys would probably be his biggest one, though. The two of them put that book together. If you're a D&D fan, that might be something fun to check out.
Yeah, it's
really got some cool art. I've looked at it in the store, and it's pretty fantastic.
Yeah, I want to get that so bad. But it's really cool. And then I always tell people, and then we can like move on to our other stuff. But like, if you're like, I don't know anything about D&D, blah, blah, blah. So it's a comedy, but it also like shows the mechanisms and whatever for D&D. If you ever look up Darkness Rising, I love that movie so much. It's hilarious, but it also like And especially I love it because the one girl in there, the guy is trying to invite his girlfriend to their regular table meetup. And they're like, oh, okay, whatever, you know. And she comes in and she's like, she whips out the book and she's like, okay, so I'm going to be this. And blah, blah, and she starts like reading it off and they're like it's hilarious. And so it just kind of like gives you a little in depth of like how to kind of play the game, but also adds in the comedy. So it's not just, you know, whatever, but it's really, really right. funny. I would recommend it.
There's a YouTube channel that I absolutely adore that does funny skits off of,
like, I think I know which one you're talking about.
Tabletop games. And which one do you think it is?
Is it oh crap, I just not role play, what is his name, NPC guy, is that what you're talking about?
Yes, that's the one.
Yep. Oh, yep. Nice.
Yeah, it's Viva
La Dirt. Yeah,
Viva La Dirt, and they are so funny, and they do like video game stories, but they have like tabletop like RPG game things, and they bring out kind of the funny stuff in those games. And if you're ever curious, you just want to see those, that's actually a great one. Hey, by the way, other stars that play Dungeons and Dragons, you guys ready for this?
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Stephen Colbert, Vin Diesel. We already talked about Joe Manganiello. I guess is the best way to say that. John Favreau with Star Wars and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yep.
He's Anderson Cooper, Felicia Day, the actor Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Chris Pine, Judy Dench, Michael Myers.
Yeah, that blew my mind.
Patton Oswalt.
Wait a minute, Michael Myers? Like Michael Myers, the... The killer?
Know, when he's not killing people, he likes to roll some dice, you know.
Hey, there's a Halloween game I want to get.
That's
I want to play that.
Patton Oswalt, Terry Crews, he's hysterical.
Ooh, I could see Patton Oswalt being a gamer for sure.
Oh, yeah.
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 David Benioff, the guy who's one of the showrunners for Game of Thrones HBO show.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
The actor Hugh Grant, the actress Michelle Rodriguez, Robin Williams, and he was a big gamer too. I knew that.
Oh yeah,
as well.
Could you imagine playing role playing games with Robin Williams?
Oh my god!
Oh god! You wouldn't be able to make it through a session. He would be the bard. I'm just gonna say it. He would be the bard.
Gosh.
Probably so. Probably so. Yeah.
And the reason why it says Hugh Grant and the chick from Fast and Furious, they've only Michelle played Rodriguez. Like one or two games. Yeah, they've only played one or two games, and that was because of the Dungeons and Dragons Honor Among Thieves. That's why they got
Chris Pine. That would make sense.
Yep. Yeah.
Right.
Chris Pine is paid like once or twice, but them two never exposed to it until they did like a session zero, so they can get an idea for when they're playing their character in the movie.
Right.
I just wanted to say hi to Sam. Welcome, Sam. If you're just joining us, we're talking about tabletop games. Let us know in the comments what your favorite tabletop game is.
Right. Hi, Sam.
Okay, so, I can't believe how much time has gone by. So let me ask you this. So, Angie, what is your favorite, then, tabletop game?
Ooh, that's hard because I have a lot.
We only have 20 minutes left.
Yeah,
so
I know.
Have you ever met Angie, by the way?
I know. Like, I'm just saying. I marked it down because this was really, really hard. My absolute favorite is Smash Up. It is a game that they have a main one that has four different factions, which the whole point, to do like a Cliff Notes version of this, the whole point of the game is you take two different types of factions, which are like, say, nerds.
Are you trying to see if you got it, Steven?
Copy dice.
I almost thought I had it, but I have a different.
Yeah, I was going to say, let me show you. I actually have the box here. So this is what it looks like.
Oh, okay. I've seen that before.
You've played.
I have?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, okay. You played it with me a couple times. You take two different factions. Like they have one for like Will Wheaton's show Tabletop, and they so you have that, and then you have like say zombies. Yeah. You put them two together, and there's two different types of cards. There's actions and minions. And then you have these bases that you have to score. When you score on these bases, you get a point.
Oh, wait. Can you be Martians from Mars Attacks?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, so they're
official. Or no, they look official.
They're not the- because of copyright, but yeah. So, but like they will have minions that you put on bases, and that's what helps you to at the end of the game, like, you know, win or whatever. And then the actions tells you what you can do. So there's like times where you can play an action that will cause somebody to lose all of their minions and you will score on the base or whatever. And then I think it's like 15 points is what you need in order to win. And the thing that I love about this is there's so many factions. Like the bigger, geekier box that I have here is, I think, 50 different factions. And I've only played. Box.
I love
Yeah. So there's like 50 that I personally have. And there's like still three or four boxes, new expansions that come out that I don't have yet. But there's like around 100.
Big in Japan. Big in Japan. I've
played
edition.
This game. 50 times.
Nice.
I played this game 50 times and I still haven't been able to play every single faction that I have. And I have 50 expansions or 50 factions. So like it is, there's so much replayability to this. And the way that I have ranked it is like the thing in my like top five, I rank for those, the playability, like the group size, like can you play it with just one or two people, or do you have to play it with like 5, 6, 7, 8? Also, like how easy is it to learn and stuff like that. And with Smash Up, like it takes like a round or two for you to really catch on, but for the most part, super easy to learn. Again, like I said, I've played it so many times and I've yet to get through all of my all of my factions. And the setup time, super, super easy. Nice. But yeah, so that's my number one. But then I also have like a second number one, just because,
you know, second number
and, it's D&D, you know, because technically that is a tabletop game. So D&D is my second favorite. Yeah. And I mean, we've talked almost a whole hour on that, so I don't need to explain myself on that, but that's my first favorite.
Right on. Right on. I like those two. Yeah. I like you saying that. So, everyone, for those that may be listening, I went on to Amazon and looked at all the different expansion packs for Smash Up. And so, but it says it's about, what, 2 to 4 hour game, setup time, no big deal.
It depends on how many people you have. And so, like, if you have, like, between 2 and 4, it can be somewhere around an hour, depending on the factions that you play. So like if you have the ninjas and the zombies combined, that takes long because there's a character in the zombies. Oh, nice. We were talking about that earlier. Warhammer.
We'll talk about that more here in a section, Sam. Thanks for bringing that up.
So like with the ninjas, they have a card called the Shinobi. And he lets you go through your discard pile and take out cards and put them in your hand. So that's why it takes so long. And then with the zombies, or no, I think that's the zombies. With the Shinobi card, it lets you like replay a card or something like that from your hand or whatever. So like there's things like that that determine how long the game is. But so overall, like, you know.
If you want to... anybody, if you're really wanting to look into tabletop gaming, I want to, Angie, you brought up a show that's really good to introduce you to tabletop gaming. And that is Will Wheaton's.
Yes. Tabletop.
He goes through, he tells you the rules and then they do a playthrough and he's usually got other actors and things like that there as well.
And that's actually like in our later episodes of our podcast, that's actually what we want to do, because I've always, since the show ended, because it's no longer airing, you can watch all the old stuff on YouTube, but they don't make it anymore. That's something I've wanted to like carry on, because I love that. And 90% of my games that I have is because I watch Tabletop.
Yeah. Nice. Inspired. Yeah. And Geek and Sundry channel used to do tabletop instruction stuff. My boys, Josh and Jack, really got it, especially Josh, got into tabletop gaming and introduced me to a whole bunch of different stuff. And
oh yeah, you guys used to have pretty epic game nights, didn't you? You guys did the root beers and snacks and all kinds of crazy
things. That was a long time ago. Yeah, that was a long time ago. But there even more into it later after that even.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes.
I just wanted to address Sam real quick. Sam said, I would like to get into tabletop games, but I have no one to play with. Sam, I feel you. I understand. I completely get it. Megan, what'd you say?
Steam.
Yeah. There are some online stuff that you could do to help you with that possibly. I would also highly recommend you check out your local like comic book stores and stuff like that. A lot of times the comic book stores double as gaming stores, and they have game nights and game days and stuff like that. Get in with one or two people and go check out those type of things. Mine and Angie's local one is Fantasy Books Incorporated, which Angie's got the t-shirt for FBI on.
That's why I wore it today.
Yep. And they have a huge gaming room at the O'Fallon Fairview. I don't know what the heck it is.
Technically it's O'Fallon, but I say O'Fallon View.
Well, they claim it's in Fairview, but when I grew up in O'Fallon, we always said that was the O'Fallon site. But
O'Fallon View.
That's for locals.
That's for locals to argue out. So I just wanted to highlight a couple of games that I have enjoyed. I'm not a big role player gamer like Angie is, but I have played a few role play games. In fact, when Steven and I were we were teenagers in high school, the two of us started to get into the DC Heroes role-playing game, which was a cool game. It was fun. Then I got Steven in trouble because I invited some people over to come play. I think his mom was a little annoyed at me. It was funny. But there was DC Heroes. I didn't play a whole lot in that, but you know what Steven and I played was fun. And then for a couple of years, me, my wife, her brother, my friend Jason. Hang on a second. Luna, stop it. Sorry, my dog's trying to eat my carpet. Anyway, I thought I had her occupied, and now she's anyhow, the Kong she lost interest in the Kong. We started playing Star Wars. Star Wars role playing game is a lot of fun. I enjoy that. Yeah. I wished I could still find my original Star Wars role playing rule book because it's worth some pretty big bucks now.
And there's stalkers that are bringing all that kind of stuff back. So
just Star Wars.
Same thing with DC Heroes.
Star Wars role playing is huge. I mean, if you go into fantasy books, there are so many. Oh gosh,
they almost are as big as Warhammer now.
I would say it is. Yeah. And then they've got all the figures. They've got the ships. They got everything you can imagine. And then moving on from Star Wars, my top two would be Palladium. And Palladium is very similar to D&D. It's almost identical to D&D. And me and my wife played with a group of people. I think Megan was just a baby when we were playing Palladium. And that game is a blast. I love that game. Palladium is a lot of fun. It is hard to find the books though, because I think they're out of print now.
How do you spell it?
Drive through
P-A-L-L-A-D-U-M, I believe.
Our friends over at Nerdery and Murdery, Zig did an episode on Palladium because I requested it. and I believe Zig said he has actually played Palladium before.
Nice.
So yeah, go check out our friends over at Nerdery and Murdery and check out that show, and you can learn more about the game Palladium.
Real quick on Palladium, which Palladium was it? With the Palladium Fantasy RPG?
Yes. Yeah, because I think they went off into like heroes and stuff like that later on.
Uh-huh.
Which I would have loved to have played superheroes once, but I never did. It was just the fantasy one, which is why I say it's very much like D&D. It's
I wonder if you could find it on like DriveThruRPG.
I don't know. You might be able to.
I'm on DriveThru right now.
Oh, are you? Okay.
Mm-hmm. And great minds think alike.
I'm telling you, man, that's where I get all of my like stuff.
Nice.
Fantasy Grounds.
There is a Palladium bookstore that, but I'm not for sure. It's kind of there is a Palladium bookstore.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
That's cool.
Oh, just to let you know, I found out Wilkie's name is actually Corey. Corey actually has his own YouTube channel. And Corey says his son lives near there. I'll have to check out Fantasy Books next time I'm down. Well, Corey, you'll have to let us know when you're down. Maybe we can meet up with you. That'd be fun. We have a geeky meetup. That'd be great. That'd be cool. I would love that.
You've done that.
In fact, we can meet up at Fantasy. Yeah. What was that, Stephen?
Yeah, you've done that with Nerdery and Murdery. And
Yes.
Yeah.
When Brendan and I went to Dallas, Texas, to see the Cowboys play, we did get to meet up with Zig and Jeff and producer Will, and we had a great time, and we had some Mexican food, and it was fabulous, and I would love to do it again. See the Cowboys again. All right. Okay, so moving on from Palladium, my number one game, tabletop role-playing game, would be, and I actually use this for the background of our this kind of a hidden thing, our thumbnail for this YouTube episode, but that would be HeroQuest. And HeroQuest is an amazing game, and if it is a great game if you're wanting to get your feet wet in role playing, because it's not a full on role playing game. You know, you don't have to come up with the attributes of your character. You just kind of pick out a character and it's already got your attributes for you. But you have a game master that runs the game like D&D and comes up with a storyline. And so it's played very similar to D&D, but it's a little more, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not as advanced as D&D. So if you're wanting to get your feet wet in a role-playing style game, that would be a great game. Yes, yeah, HeroQuest. Right, is that one of the new ones, Angie?
Nope.
Wow. That's an original. See, I have
okay.
So I have the original
game.
Yes, I actually bought two of the original sets because we played it at one time. We played it so much that we were running out of pieces and stuff. So, yeah. Hang on. But
that's what it looks like. That's an OG one.
Hold on. I'm having dog issues.
So, HeroQuest. Oh, that's such a fun game. I totally great choice, Mike.
Yeah.
Because I haven't played that in years, and I had the big main set as well.
Nice.
And
they've reprinted the game. They have it at Fantasy, actually.
Yeah.
They reprinted the game. The game is like $150 for the main game.
Yeah.
It's $84 on Amazon right now.
Is it? Nice. Awesome. Nice. That's a good price.
I never knew all these extra sets existed.
Oh yeah. I have two expansions. I may have the same expansion Angie's got. I don't remember. What was that one called?
Barbarian something.
I think I have that. I think I have that and the witch is something. I don't remember. But so, yeah, and
They've got, they re-released the expansions and added new expansions.
They sure did. So like, here is the game system. Hasbro Gaming Avalon Hill. So Hasbro probably bought it, rebrought it back. Then there's Against the Ogre Horde, Spirit Queen's Torment, Prophecy of Telor, Rise of the Dread Moon. And then there's Quest.
I was going to say, what is now at the game?
That's funny.
That's hilarious.
That's pretty gosh darn cool.
Yeah, it's a great game. Massive. It's a lot of fun.
It was a good game. Yeah.
It's not a game that you sit down and play in an hour, though.
It'll take two and a half, three at least.
Yeah, you want to make sure you put some time aside for it to play it. But it is a lot of fun. And like I said, if you want to get your feet wet in the role-playing world, it's a perfect place to start. It's
easy to get going.
Yeah.
To get set up. Yeah.
It's easy to learn. Yeah. It's great. And with ChatGTP nowadays, it'd be great. I kind of want to do another campaign and using ChatGTP to help me guide
an idea.
Now, saying that, the one shot that we were supposed to do this past week, but life got in the way and we couldn't do it. I actually did create a one shot through ChatGTP, and it did a 90s themed one shot that I want to do for you guys that we'll do later on down the road. But it was hilarious. It was so funny. Like, some of the ones that I didn't choose was one of the monsters could be, what did they call it? Brittany something or other. And it's like basically a zombie that, or not a zombie, a siren that lures her victims through song or something like that. It was, oh my gosh, it was hilarious. It was so funny. But yeah, another one, if you want to get like your younger kids and stuff into some kind of role playing, whatever, is Call to Adventure. Now, that one there is like my third favorite. But what that does is it's similar to doing a story-based thing where you get three cards and you get to choose like your type, the type of person that you are. Are you an adventurer? Are you a hero? Whatever, whatever. And then you play out this game to try to create a story arc. And it's very similar to some kind of like a watered down version of like an RPG type thing.
Call to Adventure for Otherwise Games?
I have.
Holy cow, they have Brandon Sanderson Stormlight Archive as part of it.
Yeah.
So Brandon Sanderson is the guy who finished the Wheel of Time for Robert Jordan, has his own huge epic series. It's called the Stormlight Archive. And that is crazy. And then
I really want to get those too.
Call to Adventure, Name of the Wind by Patrick Rothfuss. What?
Yeah. They're starting to come out with a lot of them. But yeah, I have the original one and I really like it. And the artwork is just phenomenal. Oh my gosh, the artwork in there is just beautiful. They did a really good job.
Okay, Stephen and Megan, your games.
Who'll go first?
I'll go. Ooh. I'm so excited.
Pick me.
Yeah.
So my first RPG was D&D, but I was like, it's okay. I was more into sci-fi, and TSR Games had one called Star Frontiers.
Yeah.
And it was my jumping into really full-heartedly into role playing.
That's cool.
Just imagine D&D in space is really the best way to explain it. You created your character. She did, it gave you a map.
Yep.
It had different races and learning about different races and having those adventures. And that's the one I really got into first. And then after that, it was DC Heroes. As Mike said, we played some DC Heroes together and all, but that was my game. Really enjoy it. Now, as wonderful Andy.
Sorry, my dog bit my toe.
Ouch. As Angie had stated, if you're ever curious about these games, everybody. Mm. Uh-oh. There it goes. It's wiping out on me. Go through drive-through RPG, drive-through RPG.com, and you can actually get all these different games as
at a really good price.
Really at decent good pricing. To get Star Frontiers right, just the rule book is only $10 as a PDF, which is really good deal.
You can't get that anywhere else.
You can't find it anymore. Cool. And so if you have a certain game that we've talked about or heard about, you can go here and give it a shot and try it. Just kind of, you can preview some of these, what they may look like. Just to, you know, if you're just curious about a certain game, it's taken forever.
They do have trial stuff also. And speaking of, like, yeah, I thought so. Unless that's they took cool. it off. Like there was a period of time where they had like a trial period, like the first, like first session of like a game for, you know, I don't know for Star Frontier, but I know like certain other like D&D style, like homebrews and whatever that people have put out there. They do. And there's a game called Esper Genesis that there was talks. I don't know if this is a rumor, so I don't know if this is like actual thing, but I thought on their, when I was a part of their Discord channel, that they said they, one of their inspirations for creating Esper Genesis was because of Star Frontier, because it's like D&D in space, basically. Cool. So, like, I think it was like them, it was Firefly, and some other stuff that they took as inspirations.
Right.
Yeah, there's one called Cyberpunk. Yeah.
So, yeah, Sam Rogers just asked, isn't there a sci-fi role-playing game called Cyberpunk? I think... Yeah.
15 years ago or something is when they came out with that.
Well, I think Zig may have mentioned that on the episode where he talked about Palladium on Nerdery and Murdery. So
here's again, Cyberpunk Red.
Check out Nerdery and Murdery.
Yeah.
PDF.
That's
is
one of the newer bad. Ones. I saw it.
The role playing game of the dark future.
Yeah, that one's supposed Cyberpunk to be pretty Red. Good.
Yeah. So here's all the cyber. Yeah. Look at all these.
Wow.
Yeah. And they're Holy supposed to be coming out with a new one soon. I thought I heard something about them coming out with a new one in the next couple months. A new module or something. I can't remember what it was, but I got an email about it.
So Steven's showing Cyberpunk, the selection of Cyberpunk games on...
Yeah.
Is this on the same website, Steven?
Well, no, this one took me to the actual game company. So you can...
Oh, gotcha.
Transfer okay. Games is really good about connecting you to all the different ones. But this is Cyberpunk Red rules and stuff. If I want to go to all the R Talisorian games, there's all these different games.
Yeah, right? Many selections. But yeah.
The Witcher even, Cyberpunk 2020. Cyberpunk 2020, I think, was the one that I did a long time ago. That I tried.
Yeah, I've been wanting to get into that. But I did play when Esper Genesis first came out. Because they still haven't, and I think it's just because they haven't got the funding for it to make like the actual books. You can only get it most of it on PDF, except for the player handbook. But they when it very first came out within the first 6 months, I actually went on to blinking on the name of the website where you can like find other people that are playing and join up with them. And there was a guy from like Washington that I'm still friends with that did a Esper Genesis game, and I was able to join part of his party and play it, and it was really fun.
Cool. Megan, okay. We better get to yours because we're running
the best for life. Short on time.
I have three that I want to highlight.
Okay.
I'll start with Pandemic, the odd one out. I
don't want to play Pandemic enough. We end up in the real life.
I love Pandemic.
It's one of my favorite
games. It's a good game.
I played that with my boys. Great game.
It is such a great game. And it's just fun. It's fun beating the viruses. But so Pandemic has quickly made its way up to the top for me. I have two that are kind of tied for first, and that's because they're very similar, or at least I think they're similar. I'll start with Mysterium. It's a, you're kind of playing as psychics and you're working together, I think. It's been a while since I actually played it.
I think so.
You're, it's a race against the clock, and it's kind of like Clue, which is my top. Nothing beats Clue for me. I adore Clue.
Clue is a...
Yeah. Yeah.
Clue has been my favorite game for a long time. And I don't think it will ever not be my favorite game.
So which character do you always play in Clue?
Hmm?
Which character do you always play in Clue?
Scarlet.
Colonel Mustard.
I always play Plum because she's purple.
You know, Clue is another one of those games that there are so many different iterations.
And I have.
Yeah, you have a few different iterations of Clue.
I've had Nightmare Before Christmas. I have it. I have the original. I have the Barnes & Noble exclusive, the a book where it's like the original game in the book cover. Nice. I love that.
I love the movie.
I have Firefly Clue. You haven't
seen the movie.
You have Firefly Clue?
Mm-hmm.
From like Joss Whedon's Firefly?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Oh. It's interesting.
There, I don't know if you can see it.
I can't tell what games are whatever.
Oh, I see it. Yeah. I have the FX version of Clue along with the original somewhere.
Nice.
That's cool. I don't know what it's called, but it's kind of just more updated graphics, more or less. Like the board looks newer, and then the characters have like their cards are newer and stuff. I don't know what it's called though. But that's the main version that we've played for the most part.
Well, that's why I want to get this, because this is
Halloween. That's hilarious.
I would like that too.
And
tell everybody what we're looking at for the audio.
So yeah, I'm on Amazon and I'm looking at the Halloween 1978 board game. So it's kind of based out of the original film Halloween, and I am a big Halloween fan. And I think from the pictures, they don't show all the pictures here, but they've got it at Fantasy Books.
Just for the record, everybody, if you're not watching this, you got to come to the YouTube channel to watch this part, because not only we're looking at Halloween, there's a picture of Michael Myers on the cover with a knife. But if you look inside of Mike's cart that it is showing, don't show the picture. There's a big old fat knife.
Well, okay. All right. So Megan and I both have an obsession with knives. So yes, you will see.
Yeah. I'm so glad you caught that, Steven.
The two of us both like knives, and we happen to kind of collect pocket knives and stuff. So. Yeah. Nice catch though, Steven. I like that. But yes. And I think this Halloween board game is similar to Clue. The way it looks in the back.
Okay.
So
that's cool.
So I think that would be a fun game. But
it looks like it's not even out yet. That's kind of cool.
No, it's out.
Oh, it's out. Fantasy has
you
don't know how many times I've went in there and went, oh, I want to buy it. I don't have the extra cash today.
Oh, it looked like it's put on the side, something about May 24th or something.
No,
I mean, that just may be an Amazon thing.
It could be. Who knows? But well,
yeah.
You can get it Fantasy.
Yeah.
So everybody, we next time we're just gonna have to pick one game to talk about for the show. we hit so many
different. I mean, when we start talking about D&D, like it's over. Like
right.
Talk for D&D for
right. Absolutely. I need to wrap things up, everybody. But I want to know what your favorite tabletop games are, and because we may highlight some, because it's been a fun conversation to look at different things and stuff. Wilkie says I might have to grab that Halloween game, which we know is Corey, but trying to. So hey everybody, if you get a chance to check out Wilkie's page, please do, his YouTube channel. He does some cool interviews and stuff like that, so
nice
on there. So anyway, so yeah, Halloween's against my religion, so I can't play it. I'm just kidding.
And with that said, go back and watch our episodes on the Halloween films that Steven actually watched. So, Sinner,
That's all I got to say.
Hilarious.
I rebuke myself.
That's hilarious. That's funny.
You that heathen.
That's hilarious.
Well, Halloween is a guilty pleasure of mine. I enjoy Halloween.
Oh, we always have good conversations about Halloween. Yeah. It's funny. So, all right, everybody. Well, hey, we've got to wrap up the show, but please, please check out Geek Girl Angie and Geek Girl Megan's show, the Twitch channel, and also their podcast that they're doing. They're just having a great time and talking things geeky. It's nice to see kind of a sister show come out from the Two Geeks and a Microphone show. So that's been really cool. And also, I want to encourage you guys to please check out our website at www.twogeeksmic.com. Number two geeksmic.com. I finally got that updated. I'm so sorry, Mike, but I got it updated. So it's all updated with the show.
Well, our site was down for a couple days too, because we had went over our, you know, we hadn't made our payment yet. And I happened to go to our website and I was like, uh-oh, we better update payment information.
Error 404.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, actually, it put that it was available. Somebody could have stole the name from us.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, everybody, please check it out before it gets taken away. No, I'm just kidding. We got it covered.
No, we're paid for the next year.
We're good. But also be sure to check out our Ko-fi page. If you want to help support us at a $1 a month, $2 a month, or $3 a month, that just helps us pay the costs. That's all. Which is pretty cool. But we're also, if you remember from the beginning of the show, if you missed it, we are adding audiobooks of the stories that we've created on the show. And those are for our monthly subscribers, not our one-time gift givers, but our monthly subscribers. And so if you want to just help us out, we greatly appreciate it. We're getting some more stuff. But another way you can help us out, we got our merch page, which you can get to through our website. But you can also go to twogeeksmicmerch.com, the number 2geeksmicmerch.com. And we've got some neat t-shirts. If you want to reach out to us and say, hey, guys, I have an idea, or share, hey, great job, or guys, you suck, go to show@twogeeksmic.com, show@twogeeksmic.com, and check us out there. Mike, it's up to you now, man.
Well, as my mom always said, if you don't have anything nice to say, then don't say anything at all. But if you made it this far, and speaking of saying nice things, please give us a thumbs up and a like on Facebook. I try to post a lot of funny memes over there. I share any information about upcoming episodes, such as this one. And go ring the bell, give the bell a tickle, ding the dong, whatever you have to do over on YouTube, and subscribe over there. That way you will get notifications of every time we go live. And speaking of going live, we go live every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. I don't like math, so you can do the rest and figure out what time it is in your location. Whoop, whoop. All right. So with that said, Angie, is there a good D&D tagline I can use? I should have asked you this before.
I'll do Vin Diesel, where he goes, critical hit.
Nice. All right. So with that said, over and out. May the force be with you, and critical hit.
Hit.
Thank you for joining us today on the Two Geeks and a Microphone podcast. Tune in next week when we will have more news and reviews. Until then,